RSB Radio with Robert Scott Bell.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
We are assessing the most important factors based on where we are in the pandemic and will soon put guidance in place that is relevant and encourages prevention measures when they are most needed to protect public health and our hospitals. We want to give people a break from things like mask wearing when these metrics are better and then have the ability to reach for them again should things worsen. If and when we update our guidance, we will communicate that clearly, and it will be based on the data and the science.
You deserve a break today at Walensky's CDC. Welcome, everybody, to the Robert Scott Bell Show. I've turned everybody off just by humming an old tune that used to be related to a commercial. I think it was a McDonald's commercial, and that just shows you how authentic of an American.
Yeah,
you remember that, Zebron? How authentic of a fast food eating, chronically ill American that I was. You know, I don't know, not chronically ill so much anymore, but certainly fast food grew up on it, Super D. And if we remember all of those commercials, Mayor McCheese and all of the Hamburglar and all of that, I'm thinking of Walensky. You know, it's sort of like the CDC's got drive-through policies everywhere. Pick up a mask, pick up a shot, pick up a jab. Distance while you're here. And now they're going, you know what? You've been such good boys and girls. I'm going to give you a break. Let's.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I don't have to wear the mask. And if it slips below my nose, you're not going to yell at me. What about the kids? Are they still masking kids in Los Angeles after that super stupid bowl, right? Where the mayor of LA was holding his breath for a record 3.5 hours, right? The guy could be the world record deep diver with no, well, anyway, this is so absurd. Walensky's going to give us a break. Checking in, our correspondent, not from the CDC, but from wherever he happens to be, is our good buddy, Kevin Tuttle, on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Who let you in here, Kev?
I don't know. Shows that you've been dropped on your head as a baby quite a few times. So.
No, I ate too many McDonald's burgers and fries that never decay, and I've worked hard to detoxify ever since. So are you here to celebrate Walensky giving us a little leeway on masking from the CDC? Is that why you're here?
Definitely. You know, if one thing science tells us, it's that we need breaks. So I'm really thankful that Walensky's recognizing that, you know, we can't do this forever. We need some breaks. So. Yeah. You know, I'm always looking to the CDC and the government for my health advice, and I'm just super grateful.
So to see how legit you are and what you've just said, within arm's reach, do you have a mask in any direction? Because that's what Walensky said. Keep them close. We might need them again. I think you've fallen down on your responsibility to Rochelle Walensky and the CDC drive-through. I'm just saying. But then again, we all have here, obviously. It's a day to celebrate.
People have asked me, "Where's your mask?" And I'll reply, you know, "It's by my spaceship. You know, I own neither one." So,
you don't have a spaceship?
Not yet. You know, Elon and I are working on it.
You know, that's just plain weird. Speaking of weird, I don't know if you call it testify at where they do these meetings in government where you get to say for a few minutes stuff, and I think. I mentioned to you about this thing, and Super Don, maybe I can tap your memory banks on this. Do you remember there was a Ron Paul thing that he did on the floor of the House years ago that went viral before things went viral, and they made it into a video with all the words of what he was saying? It was like, imagine if or what if. Maybe it was what if, da-da-da-da-da, what if, da-da-da-da-da. And I just have this vague memory of it. It was really profound. I think we even played it on the air years ago. And it reminds me of kind of like when I see what Kevin does, like going to the school boards. And when you present, you have a thought about how you want to have an impact, a lasting impact. So you thematically engage. It's almost like poetry. I don't know if it's a poetry slam that you do, Kev, but it's just
I don't know if I, you know, my dad was really good at writing poetry. I could never write a poem. My daughter's really good at it. She writes songs even, but I don't feel like I'm doing poetry, but that's interesting to hear. I just feel like I'm calling them out on their hypocrisy, and it flows out of me pretty easily. So,
yeah. Well, in the show notes today, I'm going to go back to them, show everybody. We've got these masks are made to stop you from talking. There's the KN95 brand No Speech Edition. And yet, Walensky is now going, maybe you can lower them for a little while. But again, the idea that we need Walensky or anybody from government to tell us whether we need to wear a mask or not, it just goes against everything. If you're recognizing that freedom comes not from a government, but from a far higher place. And, you know, my encouragement over the years for y'all, you know, if you've been with me for a while, is to listen to the voice of spirit, ultimately. And that doesn't mean eschew higher levels of cognition and critical thinking skills. We've been given a brain. Sometimes we might ought to use it. But even the brain and the mental body can be fooled and deceived. In fact, it's very easily programmed. And so relying solely on what we think we know, because we've studied it or because we perceive that someone told us that is smarter than us, it's a very dangerous proposition to live life that way. And I'm not even saying everybody's out to get you or everybody has evil intentions. And this brings up the interesting discussion. By the way, Super Ron, did you find that Ron Paul thing? Was it called What If or what was it? Do you remember what it was? You have it there?
I'm gonna do even better.
Okay.
Madam Speaker, I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position, military intervention and managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the wars that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if Christianity actually teaches peace and not preventive wars of aggression? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good. And I yield back the balance of my time.
Wow. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Being president, you know? Yeah. You watch these old videos of Ron Paul, and it just kind of brings back a little bit of that spirit.
You notice what he didn't do?
Then, you know?
Super D, you know, he didn't yell at people. He didn't scream at people. He didn't accuse them. And this is why I brought that up, Kevin, too, about your methods of bringing it up, where you sort of asking questions, or isn't that weird, right, that concept? It's brilliant in one sense, because even if it doesn't change the policy initially, what did Ron Paul do? He woke up a lot of people to these realities that they had never conceived of in a different way. Of course, they called him, it's anachronistic what he's doing. He's old, out of date. I mean, it's like they call him all the names. And here what he was concerned about peace and concerned about policies that brought about war. Again, what do we hear from Biden wanting to go into Russia? And Putin's just going, dude, we're not invading. We're pulling out. And I'm not saying, oh, yeah, what Putin says is always right. But the point is, Biden is desperately needing a major distraction, and is war always going to be the thing that, you know, the scoundrels do at the last little bit when they know they're losing? Let's just have a war and everybody will forget about what he's doing. So that was profound to bring that back in, Super D. I'm glad you found that. But Kev, you see what I'm saying about the way you've gone about some of your, even on the localist of local levels with these school boards? Rather than attacking them, even though some people perceive it as an attack, you simply ask the question, almost in a Socratic method type way, and allow people to come to their own conclusions, even though it doesn't change it immediately. But it plants the seeds for, I believe, transformation of consciousness.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I didn't know which tactic to take. Sometimes I write these speeches. Normally we have 3 minutes, right? This was my latest one, was at the Dane County Board of Health meeting last week. And, how do you make an impact in 3 minutes? And, you know, I just felt like telling them, you know, I'm noticing a lot of weird things, and here's some weird things that I notice. And I have the speech here if you want me to go through it. You know, it's 3 minutes long, so I don't know if we got the time. But
we just played that Ron Paul clip. But if you have any, like, lines of weirdness that you think just jump out, and I think the whole thing's great, and if we don't have a link to it somehow... I read it on our Telegram page that you started, the Fans of RSB show, which is great. So pick out some highlights in there if you don't mind.
All right, sure. I said, it's weird that prominent Democrats who push for masks are always pictured maskless at events like Obama's birthday party, NFL playoff games, and high-end restaurants. It's weird that despite seeing your masters not wearing them, which clearly shows they know the truth about them, you want to wear them anyway. It's weird how much you like virtue signaling. It's weird that you believe people like L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti when he said he was holding his breath while getting his picture taken maskless with a maskless Magic Johnson. It's weird that even CNN's favorite communist doctor, Liana Wen, is now saying life needs to go back to normal and that masks are not the answer. It's weird that you watch CNN, the network of pedophiles, liars, and masturbating anchors.
Wow.
It's weird that there are financial incentives given by our government to medical institutes to diagnose COVID. It's weird that there's a financial incentive for COVID deaths. So I continued on there, and you know, I finally finished with it's weird that you believe the universe was created by a random explosion and all its intricacies and synergies are happenstance. And it's weird that your heavenly father who loves you, loved by you. Mm. It's weird that you don't see how empty your souls are without God. That's how I finished.
Well, dude, I mean, look, there were some pointed moments where they, if they were self-reflecting or looking in the mirror, we were teasing you about that earlier off the air, but that, yeah, it would hit home in some way. So, sometimes they're so vacuous and not present that nothing reaches them. So yelling and screaming doesn't help. And in fact, it would detract from your cause, or let's say our cause in that sense. So, and I think it's a lesson, and a really good lesson for folks to say, like you ask, how can I have an impact in the 3 minutes, even knowing that many of those people have already made up their minds and they have no interest in even hearing you, but recognizing that a lot of times these presentations end up having a life long after those little, you know, meetings. And I think in that way, it was very poignant and pointed. And yeah, it could strike a chord, and it can strike like a knife for someone. They recognize their behaviors, but I think an important technique.
Yeah, you know, in previous meetings too, one of the things, you know, I'm in Dane County, Wisconsin, so we still have a mask mandate here that is supposed to expire March 1st. Who knows if it will? You know, it's always supposed to expire. It keeps going. Regardless, we have this mandate, and we've had quite a few meetings, you know, hearings about this, so we get our chance to voice our displeasure at the mask mandate. And One of the things I did was I mentioned our church, Grace Evangelical, at the end of one of these meetings. I said, if you're going to a church where you have to mask, it's time to find a new church. Come to Grace Evangelical. And since that time, I mean, that was months ago that I said that, and people are still somehow seeing that video. And we have new guests at church sometimes, which that is the biggest, you know, uplifting accomplishment that I could possibly have, is to give somebody a place to call home where they can come to church maskless and hear the truth. So
amazing.
There is impact given or made.
There is. Pat on the chat room says, what if masks are just training us for shock collars? Right, to build on that Ron Paul brilliant presentation, what if? One of my favorite songs by Steve Morse and the Dixie Dregs, What If? Do you listen to them?
It's better than Yes.
You don't know. You haven't listened to it. You probably wouldn't like it either. I still don't understand, Kev, you not liking Roundabout. And again, I didn't listen to it when I was high. I still like it without even being high, just saying. Oh, look at that mug. Look at that special mug you got. Right.
Look, these are available for purchase.
Really?
On the Robert Scott Bell Show.
I got a mug. Maybe I'll give this one away in the next AMA. Don't ask for permission where none is required. That's one of the fun statements we like to make from time to time here. So what if, again, techniques, how do we communicate? This is part of the discussion today because we have Kev on with us. And in the show notes at robertscottbell.com, we also have some stories to cover beyond the Walensky mask break. California has a censorship bill thanks to Senator Richard Dickey Pan, the pediatrician at large, if you will, that is so filled with fear, or wants you to be filled with fear, that he will run from kind, loving people like, that would be Joshua Coleman. If you remember, Dickey Pan ran. There's been a lot of that we've covered. So this story talks about social media and medical disinformation. Of course, who gets to determine what's legit what's legit information or not? And speaking of that, right before we went to air, I risked getting banned by what's her name? She was the
mermaid.
Daryl Hannah, right? Let me see if I can find it. I've got the thing up right now. Tweets and replies. Is it in there? If I go under that, Daryl Hannah put up a tweet. Here we go. She put up a tweet. She says, I don't understand. Here, let me see if I can bring that up. Don't understand the current cultural affection for obsession with and admiration of con artists and grifters. Hashtag hoping we evolve. And I thought, okay, that popped up. I want to ask a question about that, Daryl. And Daryl, of course, is married to Neil Young, who's, by the way, music is still available or is available once again on Spotify.
Only some of it, though. I looked into it, and there's like it's a limited number of songs, probably because they're owned by another label.
Okay.
But all of his new stuff and all of them the new stuff isn't on there. So I was incorrect on that.
And breaking news: Neil Young has new stuff. Back to the tweet. Sorry, Daryl. I don't mean to diss on your husband. Look, I'm all about freedom of speech here, and you can have views that we all differ. That's fine. So my question, as she wrote that, hoping we evolve, I asked her, are you referring to the WHO, CDC, FDA, and Fauci? Or naturopaths, homeopaths, and functional medicine doctors who oppose Nuremberg code level violations via mass experimentation with mRNA injections? I don't expect to get a response. I do expect that she'll ban me if, you know, what I'm hearing about her anti-free speech support of her husband. And I'm sympathetic, honestly, to supporting your spouse. That's not it. You know, if your spouse takes a position, you don't want to throw them under the bus. Unlike Bobby Kennedy's wife, who apparently invited everybody to a party and said you have to be vaccinated and openly is an open disagreement with her husband and says so. I'm not cool with that as a spouse myself, right? I want to support, even if we have some disagreements about, this particular issue, which is a heated issue. So the question is, again, how do we move forward? How do we have compassion for people that differ from us and not engage in the violence that they're supporting? Kev, think about that. I believe it's a violent act to force a child to wear a mask, much less to force anyone to get an mRNA injection or any vaccine or any injection or drug that they don't want to take.
Yeah, it's a violation. I mean, this is what happened to my body, my choice. And, you know, this, granted, we're just putting this on our faces, but it's it's a huge violation. You know, that's how we breathe. That's how we communicate. We have so many muscles in our mouth, in our face, to show emotion and, you know, pleasure and displeasure and all of these things. And by the way, is the word evolve some sort of new liberal buzzword? Because, you know, this is probably a bit personal, but I have a sister-in-law who's an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And every time she falls off the wagon, she texts us that we all need to evolve. And it always blows my mind. Like, what are we doing that we need to evolve? So, you know, Daryl, I found it interesting that Daryl Hannah uses that that word to describe what we all need to do.
Maybe we should ask her, what do you mean by that? It's always it's important when you have a let's say, an inclination to we probably disagree on something. But instead of just, I disagree, say, you know, what do you mean by that? Hoping we evolve, right? Define your terms so we have an ability to communicate, right? I'm going to say this in terms of economics as well, because I know in the chat room we have Thomas, who comes in from Hawaii, who's a cool guy, an old guy. He's a surfer dude. And he says, I agree with Robert on everything. You don't have to agree with me on anything, but on the health stuff. But when it comes to maybe it's little politics or economics, if I use the word capitalism in a way he doesn't like or perceives differently, it's very heated. You could see there's a lot of emotion response to that. And I get, probably if we had a conversation off the air, we'd probably find more agreement even about that, but the way things are communicated. So I say this only in saying, It's a trap to fall into the I'm going to now yell at you versus continue to ask questions until they yell at you. And then, you know, you've won the argument and they're going to have to move on, and you move on at that point because, you know, they're not interested right at that point. But as long as you're asking questions and engaging them, having them explain themselves at a certain point. Are you still there? I've got you still, Kev.
I'm here.
OK. And I will bring up one more example of this. When my daughter was in, I guess it was sixth or seventh grade. She was in a middle school program in Montessori school, and the teacher had shifted from my son's teacher, who was an immigrant from Cuba, who loved America and really understood limited government and the importance of it, to more of a liberal-minded, nice lady, but just would bring a Trump doll in and bash it on the table for the kids to see. Like, she was so disgusted with Trump. And when she started talking about the founding fathers as well, I won't even go into it. But when she talked about the economic programs of Trump being so horrible, my daughter, seventh grader, I think she was, said, could you tell me what exactly it is that you don't like about them? And she was about to turn around the board and she said, oh, I don't have time for that, and moved on. Right. And so you realize at that point there was no engagement or discussion possible, but it wasn't accusing the teacher of being dumb or stupid. It was just, let me ask you a question about what you believe. And if they're not willing to back it up or explain it, then you know it's time to move on.
Yeah, exactly. And if I could just go back to what you're asking about with the masks. I just actually posted a story by Mark McDonald. We were supposed to have him on last week, I believe. We had some technical difficulties, but he wrote the book, The United States of Fear. And he just wrote an article saying to his, you know, he's a psychiatrist, and he is not letting anybody come into his office now with masks because it's child abuse. And I mean, that's the kind of action that I think we need to start taking, because these kids, you know, one of the examples that he gave was, you know, a lady whose daughter could not go, or son, excuse me, could not go to speech therapy because the speech pathologist would not allow this kid, the 3-year-old kid, to come in without a mask. How is that kid supposed to learn to speak when he can't see, you know, he can't feel his mouth, he can't see the mouth of, you know, his instructor? I mean, it's Luciferian at this point. It is child abuse, and it breaks my heart. You know, my kids go to a school where I need a religious exemption for them to not mask. And this is a Christian school, mind you. And I look around at all these kids who are running around in their masks, everyone's a zombie. Mm-hmm. It's completely emotionless. And I don't even know what, you know, dystopian, I guess, is the word. But it breaks my heart. I hate all of this. You know, everybody just needs to stop complying, and this can end if we just stop complying.
Right. And it doesn't mean withdrawing from engagement either, as I talked about the way to engage, which I appreciated the way you have been. You've used humor as well, and poignant things. And as I said, if you're not sure how to do it, just ask questions. Ask questions. And until they get frustrated with you, and then you realize they're not really engaged in listening. They're all about dominating you, mandating you, forcing you. So these people are authoritarians. And this is a, you know, it's not unprecedented in the annals of history, especially in all forms of government. But even in our supposedly what we call a Republican form of government, which we were, you know, basically given or granted when we had this Constitution following the Declaration of Independence, that once again acknowledge that our rights come from God, not government or a creator. And then instead now we have devolved into an elite ruling class, whether it be the kings, queens, and emperors of old. We now have, whether it's a president or whether it's a judge or a representative or a senator or the oligarchy that works beyond the Republican-Democrat construct, beyond voting, we have a view, or the view of our government is that it grants us rights and that we must behave properly or else that will be removed. In the case of Canada, what we found with Trudeau in the state of emergency, that they can shut down your bank account. The risk of social credit scores like communist China coming to democratic, supposedly Canada, much less whatever we call America at this point.
Seems like something like that has happened in history before. Somewhere along the line, maybe in the 30s, maybe, the fact that we cannot look back at history and see similarities. And you had on Vera Sharav on Monday talking about this, mm-hmm. that, you know, there's such a Fox outrage at anybody who compares the Holocaust to anything that's happening now. Like, the Holocaust owns tragedy and, you know, human corruption and everything. The Holocaust doesn't own it. It was an awful, awful thing, but it can occur again. So why are we, like, protecting the Holocaust like it's a sacred entity where it's beyond, you know, beyond compare anymore? It's not. You know, some of the things we're doing to babies, it's atrocious. It's worse than what happened in the Holocaust. So it drives me nuts when there's such an outrage over the comparison when, mm-hmm. you know, Aaron Rodgers had to wear a yellow wristband.
Right.
Just the fact that they chose the color yellow. Mm. Couldn't they at least have chosen orange? You know, yeah. Something different, but it's like, no, they got it as close as possible to a star.
Which I pointed out.
I mean, everything is repeating itself, and mm-hmm. we're just not realizing it, or at least not enough of us are realizing it.
Yeah, and which I pointed out in the Real ID that you may have, those of you who have a quote-unquote driver's license issued by the state, now in compliance with the federal unconstitutional edict that they would control what goes in and on the ID, how it's tracking you. And one of the symbols, visual symbols, and some of them have changed it because they recognized, ooh, that might be offensive, but it is a gold or yellow star on many real IDs in the states. And folks, you've got to push back at the state level to nullify the federal unconstitutional power grab to track you. And of course, to tie, whether it's a social security number or other unique medical identifiers and or biometric IDs, to your social media accounts, to your bank accounts. And they basically, as we're learning very overtly in our neighbor to the north in Canada, they are very capable and willing to basically shut you down because you donated to a campaign of truckers who are peacefully protesting the violation of bodily autonomy that the Canadian people thought they had, but no longer, in the fervor to experiment via Nuremberg level violations of no informed consent with mRNA injections in order to just basically be a Canadian and to have a life in Canada, much less leave Canada and come back at your leisure should you desire to. And they locked that down. So we have a gulag in Canada. We have a gulag in Canada, maybe New Zealand. We'll hopefully hear from them as well. And we see that if we are silent, we're complicit. But speaking up doesn't always mean just yelling and screaming. It's acting in a way that is, as you point out, shows your willingness to not comply with what we would perceive to be unconscionable mandates or prohibitions, or unconstitutional, if we call that here in the United States.
They have no power over us if we stop complying. I mean, it's that easy. But, you know, talking about the driver's license, one, how do you get out of it? Like, if you need to renew your driver's license, can you get one that is not a smart ID?
The Robert Scott Bell Show.